thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, today we're going to be looking at Psalm 77. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 77. And for the reading of God's word, if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise. For the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the seas, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for these words. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open up our hearts today as we draw our attention to your word. Jesus, show yourself. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So long ago, when I was studying to be a pastor, a wise man once said, Jay, as a pastor, your role is really two things. One is to prepare people for death, and the second is prepare them for the days of trouble. Because everyone is going to experience troubled times. As a matter of fact, if we had no troubles in the world, and every day was the best day of your life, you don't even need pastors, do you? But it's really those days of trouble. How do we live when the promises of God are not lining up with what you think they should be? When God seems distant, when it seems like God doesn't hear our prayers, when nothing is going the way you think it should, what then? What then? Many days feel like this when God is not there. I have a friend when her parents were going through a divorce, and they're all believers. So she recruited all of her friends, including us, to say, hey, let's fast and pray together because I don't want my parents to get a divorce. And so we prayed and we fasted together. And yet the parents still went through a divorce and her spirit was crushed. And I didn't really know how to talk to her. I didn't know how to console her. And she was very disappointed with God during that time. She felt like this. Hello, are you there? She would say, I'm a good Christian. I serve at the church. I pray every day. We fasted and prayed, and yet, God, you did not answer my prayer. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 77 and really try to answer this question. How should we respond as God's people when God feels distant? How should we respond when God feels distant? So let's look at Psalm 77 together. I don't have it on the screen, but it starts by saying, for the director of music, there are 55 psalms that start that way for the director of music. And then it says here, for Jeduthun. According to 1 Chronicles 16:41, Jeduthun was one of David's chief musicians. So this song was for one of the chief musicians. And then it says, of Asaph, which has about 12 songs that are of Asaph. And that we'll look at. Here's a great example of how we should pray when things aren't going our way. You cry out. Verse 1 says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When you see things repeated, that means there's stressing that. You cry out to God. When you're desperate, you just cry out. I know some people don't like to pray out loud. You know, when we have prayer service, when I say, let's pray, I'll say, let's all pray out loud. Sometimes I'm the only one praying, it seems like, because I'm the only one praying out loud. But that doesn't mean you're not praying. But when you're desperate, and you really want God to hear you, it just comes out. You're going to just start crying. Even if you don't have words, you're going to groan and say, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. God, hear my prayers. Hear me, God. We start by crying out, hear me, God. And then it says here, when I was in distress, or some translations will say, in my day of trouble, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and yet I would not be comforted. You see what he's going through right now. He's crying out. He's stretching out his hands. He's doing all that he can. He's probably even fasting and praying, God, hear my prayers. I need you to comfort me today. And he's saying, and yet I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. This is telling me that he's having one of the worst days of his life. I mean, we live in a fallen world, so we shouldn't be surprised when bad days come. And when bad days come, yes, you need to cry out to God. But when you cry out to God and he doesn't listen, then what? Life would be so much easier if every time you cry out to God, he just shows up. How can I serve you today? Sometimes that's how we treat God, don't we? We think he's a genie. Like I did all my things. I prayed. I went to church. I read the Bible. I'm living the life that, as a good Christian, in air quotes, but because I do all these things, you need to listen to me every time I pray. Don't we have that attitude sometimes? But sometimes God remains silent. He seems distant. He seems so distant that even when you remember God, you're groaning, you know, and your spirit grows faint. So what do we do? Not only that, you can't even sleep at night. Right? You kept my eyes from closing. I can't even sleep at night. I don't know, as I'm getting older, I think stress and the pressure of life is keeping me up at night more than ever. I think when I was younger, I could just sleep through anything. You know? But these days, just the slightest worries would just keep me up at night. That's how much stress Asaph was in. And this is not foreign to you and me. I mean, we've probably had nights like these as well. So what do you do? I was too troubled to speak. He goes, and I thought about the former days. So there's a little bit of glimpse of looking back. There's a little bit of hope here, beginning to think about the faithfulness of God. The years of long ago, I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked. Remembering the songs in the night kind of points back to Job 35:10, where it says, you know, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, right? So that's what Job says. God, our maker, gives us songs at night. So you can see in the midst of his struggle, while he's crying out to God, even though he's not hearing from God yet, there's a little bit of hope he has. He's holding on to just that string of hope, you know, as he thinks about the faithfulness of God. And so this is all part of praying. This is how we pray. This is how we cry out to God. And as we're crying out to God, Scripture is encouraging us to be real. Let's be real. If we're disappointed, let's cry out to God. I'm disappointed, God. We don't have to mask anything. So after this, the psalm is going to teach us that we need to like wrestle. Now we wrestle. We wrestle and we question. We ask God the tough questions. There are six questions he asks here. These are tough questions. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Do you see where this person is? Do you see where Asaph is? He feels rejected by God. He feels that God's favor is not upon him. Has his unfailing love, his hesed love, his covenant love, has it vanished forever? Has his unfailing love failed, is what he's asking. Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? He's in a pit if you're asking these types of questions. But if you're honest, we struggle with questions like this too, right? We read the God of the Bible and you look at your life, it's like, it definitely the favor is not on me. Right? I'm not sensing his love today. Maybe God has forgotten about me. There's no other explanation. So we cry out to him. You ask questions, and it's okay to ask questions. If you come to a pastor and you ask questions, sometimes a pastor will say, don't ask why, just do. Right? Just trust in the God of the Bible. Right? But we're not a machine where we could turn off our emotions, where we could turn off our hurts. Scripture gives us a way to ask questions. You ask the questions. You just read this out loud. But make sure you're directing these questions to God. When you just start directing these questions to one another, that could easily turn into a complaining session. And then it's all downhill from there. My partner in life always reminds me, don't complain. Yeah, I mean, we could pray together, but just if you complain to one another, you read through the book of Exodus, you know, God deals with that. But if you direct your questions to him, that he wants. That's how our faith grows. When we're asking these questions, these hard questions. So we need to come to God with our questions. Amen? Yeah. And if you don't know what questions to ask, read through the book of Psalms. A scholar did that, and he found about 170 questions that are in the book of Psalms that are directed to God. When life doesn't make sense, when God doesn't make sense, ask your questions to him. Amen? Yeah. So we have to wrestle with these questions. We wrestle with these questions. And then the third thing the psalmist is saying is that we need to remember. So early on, I said there was like the beginning of thinking about God's faithfulness. But now we remember him. So we need to look back. We can look back in our own lives. We can look through the Bible. And the Bible is filled with examples of God's faithfulness. He says here, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. When God stretched his right hand, what did that represent? Victory. His might, his power. Our God is an almighty God. And when we forget, we just have to look back in history. When we forget, just look back through your journals, because you'll see the times when God showed up. So this is the turning point of the psalm. Verse 11 is the center. So a lot of times in the psalm, the center is an important verse that we need to pay attention to. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. That's the turning point. His life has not turned around yet. He's still sleepless. He is still struggling. His problems did not go away. But I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. What does that mean? What does that mean to meditate? That word meditate means to like chew on. So I'm going to chew on your mighty deeds. I'm going to think about your mighty deeds. I'm going to remember your deeds. I'm going to talk about your deeds. So instead of complaining with one another, start talking about the mighty deeds of God, what he's done. Sometimes I need to be reminded as well. You remember when? Or in the Bible, it says, you remember when it said this in the Bible? So we need each other. We need a community, and that's who we are. Amen? That's what the church is. We're not here to complain to one another, but we're here to remember the deeds of the Lord. And up to this point, the psalm was about I. I will do this. I will do that. I cried out. But starting in verse 13, the focus changes. It's almost like a part two of the psalm. He starts saying, you. So as he's meditating on the deeds of God, what does he recognize? It says here, your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? So you see how the question changed. This is another question here. But it went from, are you there, God? Did you forget to love me today? What about your grace? What about your mercy? What about me? What about me? It's all about me. But as you start meditating on God's great works, on who he is, then there is a change that happens within you. Even though the circumstance has not changed at all, there's a change in you. What God is as great as our God? Our God is great. Right. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The redemption story of God redeeming his people in the Old Testament. Just read the Pentateuch. Just focus on Exodus alone. You'll see how he showed himself, how he rescued his people. So do you see the faith rising in Asaph as he's meditating on who God is? As he's recognizing that God is a great God. God is an almighty God. God is a holy God. God is a faithful God. And his love and his compassion and his grace and his mercy that we read about in the Bible, that applies to all of his people. It has nothing to do with your circumstance. To be a people of faith means we live not by sight. We don't let our circumstances dictate how we approach God. Amen? I need to be reminded of that all the time. I'm always the first one to raise my hand if things are going well. But what do you do when things aren't going well? What do you do when you're feeling like Asaph is right now? Where the promises of God are all up here, but you're not feeling it. The love of God is all up here, but you're not feeling it. God calls us to remember. Go back and remember. Spend time with God in the Word. We have a gift called God's Word, where it chronicles a lot of the miracle works that he's done. We have it right here, but a lot of us are just too busy. We're not spending enough time in God's Word, so we don't even know what's in here. How can we remember if we don't know? So let's go back to the Word of God. I sound like a broken record every Sunday, don't I? Let's read the Word of God. Let's pray. Let's read the Word of God. Let's spend time with God. And as you do that, the fourth thing this psalm is teaching us to do is to rest in him. You're not able to rest in him. You won't be able to rest in him unless you've done the others. What does it mean to rest in God? Well, let's take a look as he's remembering. He is remembering what? One of the greatest events in Exodus is parting of the sea, right? And when you think of the parting of the sea, I don't know about you, but when I think of the parting of the sea, I just think it's just this lovely scene where the water just parts and we're able to just, God's people were able to just walk through, and then it closed up on the Egyptians. But if you read here, it's a little bit violent, isn't it? The water saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. I mean, just try to picture this. When God shows up, sometimes it's not a pretty picture, right? Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind, thunder and lightning. I mean, if you don't know how frightening that is, just come to my house and ask my dog. She'll tell you all about it. I mean, the thunder could be going off 100 miles from here. She'll hear it and just hide. You know, she'll start to shake. And the earth trembled and quaked. And we don't get to experience earthquake here that much. But imagine, like, nothing's stable. Everything is shaking. That's what it was like when God parted the Red Sea. And then he continues, your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Here's something that's interesting. Though your footprints were not seen. What was Asaph's cry about earlier? What was his prayer about earlier? Are you there, God? Sometimes we want visual confirmation. We want to see that God is here. I remember when our children were a little younger and we're telling them about God. You know, one of our daughters said, it'll be a lot easier to believe in God if I could see him. Right? If he was standing right here with me, it'll be a lot easier to believe. Let's look at these verses earlier again. Lightning, thunder, whirlwinds, earth trembling and quaking. Right? So even though God was not visible, even though there are no footprints, no one doubted God's presence then. Amen? Yeah. So sometimes when we can't see God, that doesn't mean he's not there. This is a reminder for all of us. Even though his footprints aren't seen, he is there. And then the psalm ends with verse 20, you led your people like a flock. Love that imagery. Our God is a shepherd, right? He leads his people like a flock. And then it ends with, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So here, the psalm is reminding us that God often leads through others. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, those who are called. Do you see the importance of community here, right? It's done in community. Let's look at that word hand, right? By the hand of Moses and Aaron. If you go through this psalm and look for all the instances of hand, you'll see the hand is mentioned three times. First time is in verse 2, where he's crying out to God and he says, "At night, I stretched out untiring hands. I'm so desperate. I'm stretching out my hand. Just hold me, God. Hold my hand, God." And then in verse 10, God's hand is mentioned again. Hand is mentioned, the second mention of the hand. It says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the ears when the Most High stretched out his right hand," representing what? Power. Victory. His right hand. So I'm stretching out my right hand. God demonstrated his hand in the past, and that's what I'm going to remember. And then the last instance is what I just showed you, verse 20. "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." So this is a reminder that God, he is with his people. We may not be able to see God. He leads sometimes through people that he calleth like Moses and Aaron. God's not always clear with his answers either. We ask direct questions. Sometimes he doesn't answer. But he leads his people like a flock by the hand of those he called. What a great reminder of how God works. This is a super important reminder for all of us. You may not be able to see him. You may not get all the right answers or clear answers from him. He may feel distant, but he leads his people like a flock. And he leads his people sometimes to others. What a lovely picture of the church this is. And this is my prayer of our church, is that we are led by God like a flock. That we could have hope in darkness knowing this. We have something to hold on to. It may not be the hand of God, but it may be the hand of Moses. It may be the hand of Aaron. And there is a Moses among us. Amen? So have hope in the darkness, knowing that our God leads and he holds our hand. So how should we respond when God feels distant? Well, let's pray first, right? Let's cry out to God. Let's wrestle with him. You know, let's wrestle with God's promises. If it doesn't feel real, it doesn't seem real, let's wrestle with that. And let's remember his great works. And let's rest in him, knowing that he leads his people like a flock. Let's bring our doubts to him. Let's remember his mighty works. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this great psalm, Lord God. What a timely reminder. As many of us are dealing and struggling with what's happening around our world, Lord, in our own personal lives, in the life of the church, in the life of our nation, in the life of our whole world, Lord. Everywhere we look, there are reminders of how hopeless we can be. There are times when you feel distant, oh God. There are times where we struggle with the same questions that Asaph struggled. But we thank you that you are a great God. We thank you that even when we can't see you, you are here with your people. So help us to be the community you have called us to be. May we rely on each other. May we meditate on your word together. May we think about your great deeds, oh God. And we thank you for sending us Moseses and Aarons in our lives. We thank you for them. We thank you that even when we stretch out our hand at night, wanting you to hold on to it, we thank you that you do hold on to us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we look to you today. And as we look back and as we remember, the greatest miracle is you giving us life when we didn't deserve it. So we thank you for that, Jesus. Father, I pray that every person within the sound of my voice would know you, would cry out to you, and be held by you. Thank you. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Let me ask you to rise, and let's continue to worship our God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.